Good morning. How are we? Everybody okay? It's good to see you. It's good to be back. So thanks again for inviting me up. Sorry we're late this morning. Me and Oliver were cuddled up in his bunk bed. We didn't get here on time, but it's great to be back. I absolutely do adore being up here. I feel my heart belongs here. Once again, I stayed with the Jacksons, so that means chocolate for breakfast on a Sunday morning. How else would it be? But it's such it's a place where I come for my faith to be increased. You know, Paul says at the beginning of Romans to the congregation in Rome, I long to see you that you may increase my faith and I can increase yours. Yeah. And I can honestly say that when I come here, that's what happens for me. Yeah, I come here to be blessed. And my faith just gets restored and strengthened. So thank you for that. So I can't believe it's the 1st of December next week. This week has gone so fast. And it has been the most challenging and toughest year of my life since being a Christian. It's just been an horrible year. But I was speaking to Oliver on the way over this morning that there's a couple of things that happen to you in your Christian life. One is bad things. Other things is good things, like preaching or being a soul survivor, being at these events where something happens in your life and it holds a mirror up to your life. And when the mirror is held up, it really makes you think about who you are, who God is in your walk with the Lord. So this morning and tonight, I've been desperately thinking deeply and struggling and wrestling with a couple of passages of scripture for a while now. And I want to talk about one this morning and one tonight. And it goes something like this. Somebody once asked Jesus and says, which is the greatest commandment? What's the best thing I can do? Yeah. What is the greatest commandment of all? And Jesus says, to love God with all your mind, your heart, your strength, and your soul. Yeah. And the second is like this. Love your neighbour as yourself. Go and do this. Like the Christian life is that simple. It's caught up in these two things. Love God. Love your neighbour and love yourself. Simple. Like really simple. It cannot be as simple than that, right? So I've thought about this. Thought about what does it mean to love God? What does it mean to love him with all my mind, my heart, my strength, and my soul? And what does it mean to love my neighbour? So tonight, I'm going to look at that, what it means to love my neighbour. But this morning, then, I want to look at what it means to love God. And for all of those that are Christian here this morning, we knew a time when we weren't a Christian. And that revelation of how much we need God. Like we are desperate in our, as was being said, is desperate in our sin and death as life was heading to hell. It was a living hell, whether we knew it or not. That we weren't born for the purpose to be struggling and dying and fighting in sin. But the purpose we were born for is to be in a relationship with God and be free of that bondage to sin and become under a new bondage, a bondage that where we say we're a slave to Christ, of goodness, of purity, of happiness. This is what we were born for. And we knew that we couldn't achieve or attain this life on our own merit. We knew how wretched and horrible we were. And the only way to get this new life was to trust and believe in Jesus Christ, died to take the sins away from the world, died for your sin and my sin, each sin individually wiped clean, and then we can be born again, born afresh. As I heard someone saying this morning, you will not see the kingdom of God unless you are born again, born of the Spirit. To be of a newness of life, to have a new mind and new eyes, to look upon God and Christ differently. We all knew that. And I knew that. And I rode on the crest of that wave for a long time. And I realised that these commandments to love God, to love your neighbour, the decrees that are in the Bible, this is what my life looks at now. And having these laws, having these commandments help fixed and shape my life. Because we need laws and rules, right? Like, laws and rules give us some comfort and security in society. We know that we're protected by the law. We shouldn't be burgled. We know that we need insurance and our house is covered. Like, there's laws that structure how we live, and it gives us security and it protects all society, and it gives us these confidence in our life. Then we have like unwritten kind of laws. You work hard, you reap the rewards, you know what I mean? Like, you put in the work and you build your business, you'll do good. You're a farmer, you work hard and you invest into an house and you hope that the bomb don't crash out of it. You can sell it on, you can buy a new one, you can start renting them out. Like, there's laws that we know that govern that. Our life flourishes when we adhere to them. You love your spouse, you don't do anything to hurt them, you don't cheat on them, you don't hit them. Like, there's these laws that govern our life, and now all of a sudden I've been given laws that govern my relationship with God. And like, for me, it's just like, this is just wonderful, because I was so sin and I was just horrible and my back was towards God. And now I've been told what a Christian life looks like. It's simple as this. You can't go wrong. You love God, you love your neighbour. And I needed and need them rules. Let me read a passage of scripture. In Galatians 3, this is what Paul says to the Galatians. It says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, now you have perfected by the flesh. Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supply the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by the works of the law, by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God, it was counted to him as righteousness. Know then that those of faith who were the sons of Abraham and the scripture foreseen that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel before and to Abraham, saying, if you shall all the nations be blessed, so then those who are of faith are a blessing with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who will rely on the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, curse can be anyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of law and do them. Now, it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith, but the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on the tree, so that Jesus Christ, the blessing of Abraham, might come to the Gentiles, that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. And I'll leave it there. You can see where my problem's going to end up now. You can see where a crisis can rock my world. Because what happened is that when I first got saved and started off in the Spirit, you know when you first get saved and you just ride that crest and nothing can touch you and you're on an high and there's no one closer to God than you. The weight of sin is just lifted so off your shoulders, you'll just rise into the heavenly places. Like, you need people to bring you down. And then something strange happens, that once you live by faith and now you start to live by a law again. Like, I started to give myself a law. Okay, this is what I've got to do to be a good Christian. This is what I need to do. I need to start loving people. That's easy. I can do that. You know what I need to do? There's some things that I don't, shouldn't, and do not want to watch now. That makes me go Christian, right? Like, what is in my words? Nah. Get rid of that. I know, probably if I get up early morning and pray hard for an hour, and then let everybody know that I've been praying for an hour all day, that'll make me even more Christian and more beneficial. And add these laws. The Christian life and my life that I saw were two different things. Because what happens when you get the law, when you give yourself new rules to live by, you end up like these Galatians. You know, Paul says to him, listen, once you were in the Spirit and you knew God so well, but now someone's fooled you to believing you've still got to live your life by the law. And Paul says, do you not know if you live by the law, you'll die by the law? The law, anyone who lives by the law is accursed. And I'm thinking about this problem deeply and dearly, because this is my problem. I cannot live up to the law that I've given myself. I'm not the good Christian I professed to be. I can't stop impure thoughts. I can't stop impure attitudes. But it doesn't matter, because you know what? Tomorrow I'm going to start again. If I get up 10 minutes early, if I pray harder, I read two more chapters in my Bible, I'm going to love the poor. By end of day, I am the best Christian going. This is what my Christian life has become like. I started in the Spirit. Now I've given myself a new Ten Commandments. But don't worry about it. I get to end at night. I ate 9 of them. I didn't do all 10. Okay, fall short. Don't worry about it. Tomorrow, you're going to get up at 6:30 this time. You're going to read 4 Psalms. Like, you're going to be better and better and better Christian. Be careful what you watch. Walk around and greet your brothers with hymns. Give them a loving kiss. Like, my mind is going mental. Gets to the end of the day. okay, I've fallen again. Don't worry about it, God. You stay where you are, God, and I'm going to put a new rule in my life that's going to aim me and bring me and attempt me and get me closer to you. Don't worry. I'm on my way, God. I'm going to get up at 6 o'clock. Listen, you think I'm joking. I literally did this. Honestly, I literally did. I said to my pal, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get up 15 minutes early every day so I can pray. Like, don't worry, I'm getting back to God. Like, madness. And I read this passage, and I thought, I started off in the Spirit, so close to God, and I fooled myself by thinking I could keep a relationship with God, I could keep my salvation, and I could keep my righteousness by maintaining my own law that I'd give myself. I know what makes a good Christian. Buy some nice clothes, I'll bet. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, is this where I've become? Is this what I've become with? And then obviously I had a crisis in my personal life, and it stopped me dead, and it went, ooh, Aya, what is your Christian life? What is your relationship with God? If you were to say to somebody now, Bruce, what does Christianity consist of? I'm going to say, don't worry, you got to get up at 5:30. You got to pray. You got to read some psalms. Greet each other with an holy kiss. Sing hymns and praises to each other all day long. Feed the poor. Walk on the water. Get back home. Is that what my Christian life is? And not only that, it was the most unhappiest life ever. Because my life turned into Romans 7. Let me just share with you a couple of verses from Romans 7. It says this. Did that which is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin may be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. For we know that the law is spiritual, and I'm of the flesh, hold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law is good, for it is not I who longer do it, but sin who dwells within me. For I know nothing good dwells within me in this flesh. I have the desire to do what is right, but the inability to carry it out. It's what Paul's saying. And we read that passage, and this is what he's saying. This is what my daily life is. I know what is good and right, but I cannot do it. I just can't do what is right. What is wrong, I know I shouldn't do it, but I do it continuously. And I can't stop that cycle. I can't stop that life. Whether we want to agree with that or not, I bet you, most of us, that's what we're like. If we're honest. This is me. Man, isn't this? And this is, see, this is where, you'll see where I'm going. You see where I'm coming to. Is this the life that we were promised? Is this the life what we were promised, that we were going to wrestle every day with sin and still not have the power to stop doing that? Like, listen, when I read my Bible, I literally took it, literally. And it says, do you not know that the power of sin is broken over your life? You are no longer a slave to sin, but you're a slave to Christ. Do you know not that the victory is in you? that Christ will complete a good work, that the Spirit that rose Christ from the dead is now living in you. Like this newness, this beautiful life that had been promised, where is it gone? Because my life looks like now I'm getting up at 5:45 every morning to pray, to give psalms, to fulfill this law that I've given myself to become the ultimate, the best Christian. But what happens every day? Every day I fail my own law. And I look at myself and I'm like Romans 7. Man, what I want to do is keep my own 10 commandments. But I can't even do them. I can't even keep what I've given myself to make myself a better Christian. For I do not do what I want to do, but I do what I don't want to do, that I shouldn't do. Like, this is a mess. Is this what the Christian life looks like? Like, are we claiming a victory in our life over sin? Over trying to work towards God's goodness? Is this what our life has become like? You know, I did a Bible study not so long ago, and I said to him, I said, who thinks their life is Romans 7? Like, who thinks they struggle every day with sin and they just can't beat it? Everyone put up their hand. And I'm like, you know, as Christians, we live as if the Bible finished at Romans 7. Don't you know there's chapter Romans 8? There's Romans 9. Romans 8 says, do you not know that you're free? That you've got the Spirit. You're a slave to Christ now. So you're full of righteousness. That your new life matters. And I'm like, why do we live as if we haven't got the victory? Because that does two things. One is, it makes us lie to everybody. You witness to a non-Christian and you'll say, you need to become a Christian. Like, you need to be saved. It's the best life ever. Like, I'm free from sin. You're honestly, I'm free from it. I'm brilliant. In your own mind, you're like going, man, I can't even do what I want to do and do what I can't do. Like, makes us a liar in his own life. We're not authentic. But it also, it makes a liar of what Christ did on the cross. It says that actually what Christ did on the cross has not give you a victory in your life over sin. And I thought to myself, no, because I've tasted that victory. I've lived a life where I've been a slave to Christ and I've been a slave to sin. See, there's a difference between occasional sinning and doing them sort of things. I'm not talking about being pure. But when you're a slave to sin, it's a different matter. You have a relationship with sin. You do not stop sinning. You prefer to sin over loving Jesus. This is what I'm talking about. Now, I knew that life where I was free from all that. How did I end up back here? How did I end up struggling and grappling with sin? How did I end up almost disempowering what Christ had done in my life? Simple. I became a Galatian. I gave myself a law. I walked away from the Spirit of Christ and put laws in place in my life to justify my righteousness, justify my relationship with God. And what does the law do? What is the law's job? It's to tell you where you're going wrong. Paul says the law is the schoolmaster that's brought about to tell you you're doing wrong. No wonder I'm going to fail my own laws, because my own laws are to tell me where I'm going wrong. And this hit me then. And this, for me, was quite profound. Probably ain't for you, but for me it was. So I'm going to go back. Because I've quite rattled on and I've gone all over the place. But I want to go back here. This is what my thought is. My life now is a life where I'm struggling to do the right thing. To be the better or best Christian that I can be. To get as close as God as I can be. I feel like I struggle and fail every day. The things that I'm doing to help me get there are this new law that I've given myself. These new things I think of being what a Christian means, and I'm heading toward God. And I'm struggling daily then with sin. This new law that I've got. This is my where I'm at. Because I tell you now, we've all got our own Christianity in our head, what we feel we need to do to achieve the goodness, blessing, favour, grace, and love from God. And this was my profound moment. And it goes to do with the commandments. Love God, love Jesus. Like, my life's a mess, so this is what I thought. Do you know what you're going to do, Bruce? Start again. Old Christianity out, the new one in. Get a blank piece of paper. Let's have a look at where we go from here. Simple. Go to this passage. Love God, love your neighbour. So I've wrote this down on a piece of paper. I've put this on. This is my starting block. This is where I'm going to go from here. Then I realised something about the law and about commandments. Commandments only get known when they've already failed. Commandments only get spoken when they're not being done in the first place. Think about that. Someone tells you, tidy your room. The commandment is you must tidy your room. Implies the room is never being tidied, or they're not tidying the room. Conversely, if you say, stop doing that, it means that they are doing something. When the commandment of love comes up, this is what happened to me. Bruce, you love God. The startling, chilling to the bone, it raised its head because I wasn't loving God. The commandment makes itself known in the absence of me actually doing it. Why is it so profound to love your neighbour? Because I'm not doing it. When the Pharisees asked Jesus, what are the commandments? He said, love God and your neighbour. These are the two things that you are not doing right now. My profound moment hit me. I was keeping the laws. I was getting up as early as I could. I was memorizing scripture. And I didn't love God or my neighbor. And the words of Jesus just grabbed me hold and says, this commandment has made itself known to you because you're not doing it. You're not keeping it. And in fact, if I love Jesus now because he told me to, means that I'm not loving him for what he's done. How can I put that? This is something that I've thought about. If you turn around to your spouse tonight, your wife, and said, why do you love me? And they said, because you tell me that I've got to every day. Math. You ain't going to feel so good about yourself then, now you're married then, are you? But how sad is that? That I love Jesus because he tells me to. Like, his commandment of love God shows you how much you do not love God. One, because you're not doing it if it makes itself known. Secondly, if you do it because it tells you to, shows you that you didn't in the first place love him with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength. The profoundness of Jesus speaking them words cut me to my core. Where I thought I could start again from the beginning and get these commandments to get my life back right with Jesus, I found out it condemned me even more. So where did I go? Where do we go from here? Anybody today that is struggling, thinking, I am not a good Christian. Like, man, I just keep failing all the time. I know what I should do, I just don't do it. I know that I should love God, but I'm not sure that I do. I don't even like people in church, never mind my neighbour. They've got no chance of me doing this one. Those of us who are full of pride and unforgiveness, these things that, man, pride is a horrible thing. I tell you, it'll be like that in 1 minute. Jesus loves you. Of course he does. Have you seen what you've done today? You're just brilliant. You can, you know, you read the scripture. You don't watch EastEnders. You are on fire. Pride will do. Pride will bring you back to the Lord and say, yeah, you're keeping the law and you're doing good. And then on the other side, it'll say, oh, but you're not keeping the law today. You're not as good. But pride of keeping a relationship to the law. And we all feel that. What is the antidote? What is this horrible life that we can't get ourselves out of? How do we get out of that? And then I remembered something. A long time ago, somebody spoke some words over me. And these words came from Ezekiel, and they're well known. And it says, and I will give them one heart and a new spirit. I will put within them, I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. And they may walk in my statutes and keep my rules and obey them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. That's what it's, the words of Ezekiel, sir. So your heart of stone and your mind of mess, I'm going to replace that with a heart that loves me. The heart that loves God. So much so, sin is not an issue. You know, the reason why we keep the commandments is that there should not even be commandments. I was talking to Kath last night about something about this, and I said to her, I said, do you know, if someone's got to tell you that you should not murder somebody, I'm telling you, you've gone wrong already. Like, if you need the commandments to tell you what to do, you've gone wrong already. Like, that's my starting point. Then this is it. I said to Cash last night, I said, does Jesus want us to be faithful to him just so we can claim that we've kept the law? Or does Jesus want us to be so faithful to him because we're so in love with him, sin is not attractive anymore? I thought about this, and I thought, am I just keeping and doing what is right so I can keep myself looking good? Or am I doing what's right because I'm so in love with Jesus?
Yeah.
My heart wants nothing else.
Exactly, yeah, that's right.
If you say to your wife tonight, why have you never had an affair on me? And she says, well, it's against the law. Your marriage is in trouble. But in that how we operate at times. Why do you do that? Because I'm commanded to do that. See, the emptiness in what I feel in towards God. Somebody should say to me, Bruce, why do you do that? Man, because I love God so much. I don't want nothing else but God. Like, I just want to keep the things that he does. See what it says in Ezekiel? I'm going to give you a new heart that makes you love me that much that you'll just do what I obey. Do what I say, my statutes, you'll just obey him because you're so much in love. And I'm like, what a foolish Galatian. I started out in love. I give myself a law. The law then has beaten me up for the last couple of years, letting me know how rubbish a Christian that I am. And all I had to do was just love Jesus. And sin would be no more. He'd have a power in my life. He'd be my victory. He'd be the one that holds my heart and my mind captivated. Paul says later on in Romans, you know, every thought, all captivated to Christ Jesus. To the one that you love, to the one that freed you from sin. That's where you're focused. And I'm like, now I remember. Now I remember what it means to love God. Didn't get up at 4:45 again. Let me tell you that. What did I do? I repented. I said, Father, forgive me for all my sins. And forgive me for bringing back the law. And having a relationship with the law rather than you. Forgive me that I thought I could earn being a good Christian. I could work harder and get there. God, forgive me for my sin. What does it say in Galatians? Those became the sons of God by faith and belief. And I just went, you know what, God? I'm going back to it. I believe. I honestly believe in all my heart. Honestly, I do. I believe it. That he has freed me from the power of sin in this life. Honestly, I do. I believe my Bible teaches me that. Because if he doesn't do that, I can't have a relationship with sin and Jesus. You can't have two masters. Jesus frees me from that so I can love and worship him, that I can have a victory in my life. Like you said, do you know what? I'm not going to, I'll fail. I think, do you know what? I've sinned today, Jesus. Okay, what do I do? Give myself a new law? No. Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm turning back to you. I'm repenting and I'm putting my eyes focused on you. My focus stopped being about myself. My focus became, again, about Jesus. I'm going to trust and believe that what he did on the cross actually made a difference in my life. Not some made-up difference, but it actually made a difference. It broke sin in my life. And when sin comes knocking on the door, I answer with the name of Jesus. I'm not a weak human being where I cannot control what I do. Christ has given me a power and a mind and a spirit to stand up in my community and say, no, I am not going to perpetuate sin or I'll let sin be perpetuated around me. I'm making a stand for Jesus in this life. Me and Oliver were talking when we were driving over here. I said, you know what sin does so cleverly? It makes you look at yourself more. It's what the law does. When the law brings out sin, it makes you look, it's all about me. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Like the planets are surrounding you. Like you're sending a universe. You know what the antidote is? Look upon Jesus. Stop looking upon yourself and look upon Jesus and what he did. What he did on that cross. How he rose from the dead and ascended to heaven. How he's being worshipped and glorified now. I tell you now, if Jesus didn't break sin in my life and get me close to him, what are you all doing worshipping him now in heaven for? Isn't that worship misplaced? If he didn't break sin in mine in your life, if he didn't give us a power, if he didn't give us eternal life. No, he did. And I'm not going to go back there. I'm not going to go back to thinking that I can earn my way into his good books, that I can earn my way to be a good Christian. Because every time I do that, Lord's going to tell me how many times I failed. But I'm going to stand on the blower, the power, the blood, the testimony of Jesus Christ. I'm going to have faith that he broke sin in my life. I'm going to have faith that I'm a new person. I'm going to have a faith that I can love God. I'm going to have a faith that I can look upon his face. I'm going to have faith that this world and universe don't revolve around me. I'm going to believe that because it's not all about me. It's all about Jesus. When I heard that first commandment, you shall love God, it reminded me that I did not love him. My heart, my mind were empty, full of deeds and works. And we've all been there. Some people might go back there again, and I'm going to remember it. I'm going to tell you now. I've still got another hour. You wake up tomorrow morning, and you just think, I ain't a good Christian. You look in that mirror, and you just close your eyes, and you say, no, I'm not looking upon myself today. I'm going to look upon Jesus and what he's done. I'm going to repent from my sin. I'm going to get back to the one that I love. Yeah, oh, Lord, break my heart to fall in love again. Forgiveness of my own heart, thinking I can do something about my own destiny and about my own life. I want to be in love so much, sin has no grip on my life. Man. Isn't that the sweetest sentence you're ever going to hear this side of glory? Surely it's got to be. Only when I look upon God in the right eyes, that I am nothing before him. I have not been nothing. I didn't have an ounce of righteousness or goodness in me. But God, in his mercy, when I was the worst of sinners, and when I say I was the worst, you were also the worst, trust me. The difference between a lot of stuff that I did and stuff that you didn't do is that I had the opportunity to do. You had the opportunity, you'd have done it. You're the worst sinner just as me. And when we were the worst sinners, at that time, Christ said, I am going to earth to die for them. Only when I see God in the right way can my life be a life of victory. Only when I let God do what God does best in transforming this life will I live a good life. Tonight we're going to look at how do we love as neighbour, and that's a lot more practical. But this morning I wanted to share with you the things that I've been wrestling with the hope that there's one person here that has wrestled with the same things and can stand up and say, no, I ain't going back to law, I ain't going to be foolish Galatian, but I'm going to stand in the spirit and I'm going to love Jesus so much that there's going to be a victory in my life. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we do apologize and we repent where we've put law in place of your grace and goodness, where we think we can earn our way to a closer relationship with you. We can earn a better righteousness, a better Christianity. Lord, forgive us when we've replaced you with the law. We repent from that. Lord, come back and give us a new heart and mind. That we just keep your statutes because we love you that much. That they're not even an issue. That we love you so much. Lord, we love you. We thank you for what you've done in our lives. Give us a strength and a victory over sin, Lord. Let sin wage no war in me anymore. But let me be a slave to you, Lord.
Yes, peace, my
be with us, Lord. In your Son's name, amen. Yes.